called Amazing Grace back and said we would like to be on the list again, and we started the paperwork all over again.
And I was thinking, you know, we had to wait a year and 3 months for Logan. We had learned our lesson and waiting. We're good to go. Like, this is going to be a bang, bang process. We're going to put our stuff in. It's just going to open up. Boom. We're going to have another child. I was really wrong.
Yeah, so after 18 months, you have to update your paperwork. So when we had gotten all of our paperwork, done the home study, everything again, we had to update paperwork. So we were on the list, and at about the three-year mark, right? Wow. At about 3 years, we had just been waiting. We remember we were talking about it this morning about just, we had gone to Florida. It was in January for Gotcha Day. We celebrate Gotcha Day big at our house, almost bigger than birthdays.
What is Gotcha Day?
Gotcha Day is the day that we pick them up from the adoption agency.
So you celebrate birthdays too, right?
We do celebrate birthdays.
So they get birthdays and a Gotcha Day.
Exactly.
Man. Yes.
Exactly. It's good times at our house. So we were at that three-year mark, and I remember driving back from Florida, and we said, are we in God's will? Are we doing the wrong thing? We had not heard anything. We were just waiting. And, you know, 3 years is a really long time when you're waiting on a phone call. And as soon as we got back, I think it was even on the ride back home, I sent an email to Donis, and I said, we are really praying. Are we doing the right thing? Are we supposed to go international? Are we supposed to? What are we doing? And I remember she sent me back an email that I still have. And the gist of the email was, just trust God and wait. She says, I've watched God do this over and over with families, and he is going to do this. Mm-hmm. Just wait. So we got that, had a little bit of peace, and it wasn't a month later when we got the call about Megan.
And this one was, I got the call. It was February 25th. I was in my office, and she called my cell phone. Chuck's cell phones aren't.
So this is 2012, right?
Yeah. No, 2013.
Wow.
And I get a call, and it's Donis. And I was really surprised. I was like, why is she calling me? Because a lot of times, if she's talking to somebody in her family or contacting them, it's Jenny. And I'm thinking, why is she contacting me? And she's like, is Jenny around? And I said, no, I'm in my office. She goes, can you talk? And I was like, this is really strange. And she said, I just wanted to talk to you because, you know, you had applied for some grants, because we found out that you could apply for grants. That's to great. Help with adoptions. And we didn't know if you were in the place right now to, you know, if there were a placement, would you be financially able to do it? And I'm putting one and one together at this moment. I'm like, there is a placement that can happen. And she's asking me this. And this is no joke. I'm thinking, do we have money that we can do it right now? Truth is, we did not at all, or even close. But then all those sermons from Tom Wagner.
Yeah.
Talks about faith. I just said, yeah, of course we can.
All those sermons that talk about lying.
We said, yeah, we got it. We can do it. And then that's when she told me about Megan. And she's like, go talk to Jenny about it and call me back and see if this is what you want to do. And I'm in the office. I'm like crying. I'm writing down on post-it note all the information that I need. And I was like, oh, I need to go talk to her. So I call her up. I say, where are you at? She's I'm at home. I said, don't leave. I'm coming home right now. I'll be there. And then like, I just hang up. That's all I give. Like, that's it. And I walk, I can't even really think or comprehend what's going on in my mind. And I got to get home. So I walk out, and I actually run into you, Jeremy. And you're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I can't tell him anything because I haven't talked to Jenny. Jenny needs to be the first one that I talked to. And I was like, I'm fine. And you offered to ride me home. And I was like, no, I got it. I'm fine. Everybody's just looking at me like,
of course, James can never convince anybody he's fine if he's not fine.
So I get it. I remember I get in my car and I'm like, okay, I got to go. Where's that piece of paper? And I left it in my office. And so I went back in and everybody's just staring at me. Just like, oh, this is terrible. And
I wish the listeners had the visual of what James looks like in a moment.
Right. And so I get my piece of paper and I start heading home. And then, like, this is, Jenny can tell you what she was thinking when I called her or what was going through her mind.
I thought someone had either passed away or that he had gotten fired.
For lying.
So
it's horrible.
I remember, like, she met me at the door. She's like, what's going on, tell me, talk to me. And I was like, let's just go back to our room. And like, Logan, I think, was watching something on TV, and I was sitting on the bed, and she's just standing right next to me. She's like, seriously, tell me, what's going on? And I got the words out. I got a call from Donis, and she fell on the bed crying because she knew what that meant. And so from there, we went and talked about it, called her back, said that we were good to go.
Once again, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
So it was a tomorrow call again. Yes. That's the way it worked. Okay.
Yes, it was another tomorrow call, February 26th. So we, once again, we were a little bit prepared, but we did go to Babies R Us again to get some things. And then we showed up. It was the agency had moved, though. It was a different place. And we got there, and it was a different experience because you got Logan here too. Before, it was like just us, yeah. And now we've got like a big brother.
Because he's what, five?
Mm-hmm. He's five, and so it was a little bit of a different experience from that aspect. And we picked her up, like they did the same thing, and we, you know, had Megan in our arms, and I remember I held her a lot. So she was a very different baby than Logan, and has been different ever since than Logan. Yeah. But a great thing. And so I remember at the agency, the first time with Logan, they're like, here's this formula, and here are these bottles, and here are these diapers that you can take. We're like, this is great.
Yeah.
And so that was our experience. And so when we showed up to pick up Megan, we didn't bring any of that stuff. And we were sitting there talking, and they're like, oh, she's got a dirty diaper. Why don't you get your diapers? And we're like, well,
adopted kid comes with that.
We're like, we don't have this. Do you have any? And they're like, we'll look around and see what we got. And they're like, oh, she's hungry now. Why don't you give her a bottle? Like, oh, well, we don't have those.
We don't know where to go.
Did you tell them the last time?
And so finally, like, no joke, they said, well, you're getting ready to leave. You have a car seat, right? And I said, yes, I have one of that. I was like, Jenny, we have got to get out of here with this baby, or they're not going to let her go home with us. But we made it. We made it through. We made it home. And it was a little bit easier as far as we knew how to have the baby at this point, how to do, you know, formula and all that. So that's how we welcomed Megan into our home.
That's amazing.
Now, as we kind of just like bring this for our listeners.
Hold on. What? I'm sorry. You don't have this in the notes, but tell them about how you got your third child.
Oh, yeah. We do need to do that. Yes.
Yeah.
Not by adoption, right?
No, it was not, because we had both been told through all that testing that we would never get pregnant. Not just because of Jenny or not just because of me, but because of both of us. And lo and behold, 2020 rolls around, and Jenny calls me home from work to tell me something, and that something was?
That I was pregnant.
God loves to blow up words like never.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
And I, like, that was a shock to the system for a lot of reasons.
Yes, definitely shocking. I had made an appointment at the doctor because I was not feeling well. And I'm like, something is not right. And every time I went to the doctor, they would always say, are you pregnant? And I would say, no, we can't be. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to take a test before I go so they don't make me go in there and charge me for that while I'm there. So I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what? I've already gone ahead. I've taken
Frugal
this. No,
Jenny
it's not.
Was just trying it's, to save
that's
money.
True story. And so then when that came out positive, it was very shocking.
And I remember telling the kids, because we're like, well, we got to tell the kids. And I remember Logan saying, when we told him that, you know, that she was going to have a baby, him saying, oh, that's sad that this baby won't have a gotcha name.
That's true.
It's
true.
It's like, you know, nope, they'll just have a birthday. That's it. Nothing else. Cynthia can grow up dinner.
Wow. Talk about being stressed. That day, James found out that Jenny was pregnant. I got a flat tire on the side of the highway, and I called James. I'm like, I need someone to come get me or to come help me. And James was like, I really can't help you right now. I was like, who's going to have to bring something else out? I'm like, jeez,
James. I grew a friend.
And then he told me like a little while later, oh, okay. It's okay.
Darren, I do love you.
I know. Darren helped me. It's okay.
Which we waited a little while to tell the kids just right. Because every pregnancy that we had ever had, three of them, had always ended in a miscarriage. So, you know, that's always in your mind, too. And so we're like, we're going to wait just a little bit to tell them.
Because it's one thing for us to process it, because not that you ever want to, but we had experience in but trying to help walk a child through that would be a whole other ball game.
Wow. And so you guys have a beautiful family with three amazing children. And just at the time of this, recording, your daughter Megan sang a song Sunday morning. We should play that to end this episode, Jeremy, don't you think?
Say that again.
Remember Megan's solo Sunday morning?
Oh, man. Sorry.
Beautiful.
I got distracted by your computer dinghy.
Sorry about that.
It was amazing.
Yes.
It really was amazing. And really, I mean, obviously we're close to this family. Mm-hmm. Three great kids, man.
Yes. And so there's, for those who are praying about adoption, those who are maybe even in the process, you already talked about your hurdles to the adoption process. Anything else you want to add to that?
I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, but I mean, it's a lot of waiting and it's a lot of work, and having kids is expensive anyways. But also adoption can get very expensive. There are things out there that can help you. But the obvious answer is that God's out there, and if it's his will, he'll take care of it.
That's right. And then any advice you would give to those who are praying about adoption or in the process you are, you were in for many years waiting for adoption?
For me, it's very important to realize that this is a calling, and God's callings are different for different people. And so if God calls you to adoption, you just enter into that calling with a lot of faith and realize that it's not about what other people say. It's not what other people think. And you'll get a lot of advice from other people, and everybody's story is different, and the way God's working in somebody's life is different than other people's lives. And sometimes people mean very well by what they say, but, they can say some hurtful things. Just a little tidbit, and now I can't remember if Darren and Marty talked about this. We learned the importance of birth mother and birth parents. It's hurtful to an adoptive family to be like, well, do you know who his real parents are? And it's like, yeah, we do, James and Jenny. And but that's a side note. But it's a calling. And sometimes you can't associate guilt with your calling as far as, well, I'm not doing this. You know, for instance, I don't believe God's called me to deal with a child who has this disease. That's not because you're a bad person or because you don't love people. It's that God didn't call you to that. And so you just stay true to the calling that God has for you. And with any calling, you find opposition. And it's a spiritual battle. And I remember when we were waiting for Logan, they called all the waiting families, Amazing Grace Adoptions, called all the waiting families for like a banquet. And they talked about how this is a spiritual warfare battle, because you are bringing a child into a family where they will be exposed to the gospel, and how the enemy does not want that.
Yeah.
They want to keep, you know, any child away from hearing and experiencing the gospel. And so just remember that as you're praying for this child and you're praying for their birth mother, and just pray through all these different kinds of things.
Yeah. And in those days, you know, it seems that you know, you, it's not going to happen, or what is God doing? And, you know, it's all about perspective, because when you get on the other side of it, you see God at work, and you see that God was working and that the timing had to be just right. And in the moment with this and with other things, it's like you don't see it and you just have such a limited perspective. But just remembering that God is at work, even when you don't see it, and when you're waiting and you don't hear a word, that He is at work and He does have a plan, and His plan is greater than you could ever dream. And just going back to that and just who He is, and reminding yourself over and over that He's good, and that we can trust Him.
And you can trust Him. And that's a big deal. Like, you think about Abraham, who was told that he was going to have a son, and it was decades for waiting, and he just had to have faith and trust that God was working. And I think that really helped us the most. Just trust God through all this process.
Two things popping into my head. Because we've been close for a long time, and I was around and close to you guys through this process. And just touching on the dumb things that people say, that was probably harsh. I probably worded that wrong, but it's easy for those of us who haven't walked this path to be unaware, you know? And there are flippant things that we say. Don't you think it's time for you guys to have a kid? You know?
Yeah, don't ever say
that. Yeah. You know, really, if you're scary. Close to somebody and that's a conversation you want to have, that's one thing.
Right.
But to say it in a flippant, joking way, which seems like nothing to, you know, to me, because we had kids, we didn't go through that. To someone who is struggling and the whole world doesn't know it, that is a hurtful thing, you know? And when we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day, I just remember, especially Jenny, being close to her, and I knew when I would see her on Mother's Day that this was such a heavy thing that she was going through. So for somebody who didn't adopt but loved people who were adopting and seeing what they were going through, it challenged me to be more sensitive and conscientious. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helpful for all of us, you know, that care about people and we're called to. Also, I'm struck by the differences and similarities, you know, because I'm listening to the stories and remembering everything. And nobody came to look at my house before we had our birth children. You know what I mean? Nobody sat down and asked me what somebody probably should have, you know, but nobody did. And the cost involved, and some of that's ridiculous, and some of it, it's a broken system, and hurdles shouldn't have to be jumped over like they do. But then, you know, the parenting's parenting, and bringing home your kid is the same, you know,
yeah,
for everybody. And all the things that James was feeling, we felt too. Eugenia was feeling, but Cheryl and I felt too. And so being a parent, and like you said, this is my kid, you know, right. And once you get to that point, of course, adoption brings other hurdles in the parenting process and things that you have to walk through your kid with and discussions you have to have that birth children and birth parents don't. But it's still, parenting is parenting, you know what I mean? And that's pretty beautiful that God orchestrated everything that way. But I think the biggest takeaway, which this is what you guys were dancing around the whole time, Romans 8:28, we have a Father who's working all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. We had no idea when you were hurting because you lost those children. We had no idea because of the struggle of waiting that God was putting this perfect, beautiful picture together. And what if Logan had different parents? Mm-hmm. You know, his life wouldn't be what it is now. What if you didn't have Megan? You know, your home would be quieter, but way more boring. You know, she's awesome. And then, I don't know, the cherry on top, the insane, we walked through all of this crazy, and then here's Gavin, you know, but God was putting that beautiful, unique picture together, and you never saw it. But now that we see it, we can't imagine it having been different, and anything that we would have thought was better wouldn't be, you know? So that's the takeaway, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I love it. Thank you guys for sitting down, being vulnerable with us, and for sharing your story.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
Peace out. Thanks, take it away, guys. Megan. I was made in the image of a bird.